Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2018 Cairo International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Nosipho Dumisa. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Excited.
So I watched your film number 37 last night, very late at night, but it was totally worth it. It was very intense and I certainly did not fall asleep, which is good because it was late at night. For the benefit of our listeners, I was just wondering, would you like to maybe introduce it and say as much as you'd like about the film?
So number 37 is my little homage, or like, you know, a little nod to Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window, which is a film I love very much. It's set in the Cape Flats, which is an area that's got a lot of political significance in South Africa. Yeah, and it's a story that's been developed over a few years, really looking at starting from a short film where we introduced the character Randall Hendricks, a not so innocent man who's dealing in petty crime and decides to blackmail a thug in order to pay back a loan shark. None of these solutions seem very intelligent to me, but it is what it is, and it's a film, it's a thriller sort of.
It's interesting that you actually mentioned the name of Hitchcock, because I was going to ask you whether you mind if people compare your film or see the influences of Hitchcock in this film, especially Rear Window, as you mentioned.
I think having my name and this film in the same conversation as Hitchcock, whether it's negative or not, quite frankly, I will always be pleased, because, I mean, who doesn't want to be, you know, who doesn't want to be compared to Hitchcock? At the same time, this film was inspired by Rear Window, but really, it stands on its own, I think. The story was never going to be exactly the same. I think there are certain beats that are the same because it's you know, it's a similar narrative, but really it's a different world completely, which means the characters are so different. The relationship dynamic between Randall and his girlfriend Pam is completely different to what we had in Rear Window, and I think the themes and the things I wanted to talk about were completely different.
Right. Actually, the setting itself is quite. Well, it's quite an intense place, but it's probably like based on something that really happens, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. So,
what's the name of the place again? Cape Flats.
Yeah, it's right. The Cape Flats. So the Cape Flats are an area in a few areas actually combined to be called the Cape Flats in Cape Town. Now, most people will know Cape Town as this amazing city, and if you've ever been there, it's gorgeous. But that's the one part of it. Mm. And there's a lot of people, many, many people who don't live in that kind of conditions. And in fact, if you take some time and you sit in Cape Town and you look around you, the people who are serving you, the people who drive you around, go back home to areas like these. And these were areas where people of color were forcibly removed to from their homes during the time of apartheid. And economically, they've never really fully recovered. And the spaces they're in were politically manipulated and filled with crime at the time. And it's never really regained any kind of... There's a sense of community, but it's a community of a lot of struggle. And so the violence you see, the craziness you see, the laughter, the jokes, the humor, if you got any of the jokes, that's all real.
Speaking of this side of the world that, you know, you may not necessarily know about Cape Town, especially being an outsider, even an outsider who visits the place, makes me think that maybe it's also a side of the world that hasn't been seen in the movies that much, right?
Yeah, it really hasn't been seen all that much. I mean, a few films in the last, say, maybe 8 years have come out, and when I say a few, I mean a few, that have tried to authentically portray what this world is about, to also just tell these stories, because not only is it a world that you haven't seen, it's also stories and a subculture in South Africa that hasn't been paid attention to politically, in terms of media, in terms of, you know, film. It's you could say that people have chosen to pretend that it's not there. And lately, though, it's exciting is that there's a lot of films that have come out that have done really well internationally and locally as well.
What do you think, just generally, that means to have that representation in the arts?
I think it's important to have a voice. I think it's important for... Look, the film is a thriller. At the end of the day, it's not a political film. But for me, I care about certain things and I wanted to talk about it. I think it's important to highlight issues, to show people a world that they may not know about. And whether that moves them to do something about it or not, that's up to the person. Yeah. But genre for me, which is what I love, genre should stir up conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I think also an aspect that I was completely drawn to was the ambiguity of the characters. Like you said, they aren't great people. They do bad things and they make questionable sort of decisions and so on.
I don't believe that anyone is good or anyone is bad. I think that we all have all these different shades to us. And I think a lot of the time our circumstances and where we've come from will also determine how we may react to certain situations. Randall is not a bad man in the normal sense of the word, but he does do bad things because the situation he's in forces him to do it in certain ways. But at the same time, what I was interested in doing was then putting him against a different character who's lived in the same world, who's had the same upbringing, who's had the same limitations, but sees the world completely differently, and that's Pam. She's like this light in this film. And for me, I wanted her to represent this Christ-like figure, this idea of a man who does not deserve love, who does not deserve this woman's love, this love that's kind of like, I would have walked away ages ago. It keeps coming back, it keeps coming back, it keeps coming back, and hopefully finds redemption in that. That's the kind of world I believe in, that we can find redemption in one way or another, but none of us are good. None of us are bad.
And speaking of seeing the world in a certain way, there's that element of the binoculars as well, right? Yeah. It's kind of like, it's there, so it's an item that represents that theme in a way.
Oh, for sure. And that's, I mean, that's all Hitchcock, you know. I think he was brilliant in what he did, but obviously he was talking about voyeurism in that and, you know, all kinds of relationship issues in that relationship in the film. But for me, I think the binoculars are an amazing way. They were incredible because Randall, who was once part of this world, becomes an outsider and he has to view it. And what's great is that us as the audience, we're outsiders. So we get to experience this world through these binoculars, whereas you would usually experience it by moving around, getting all these different perspectives on characters. This way, it's almost theatrical, but without the dialogue. You don't get to know really what's going on. So you're making up ideas in your head, but at the same time, you feel so much because it's this idea of you can't touch it but you can see it and you know you want to reach it and you get frustrated because you can't touch it and you can't hear it.
Well, actually you did mention we mentioned Hitchcock and thrillers, but while I was watching it I thought that there was an extra element to this film in the actual things that go on between the two flats. So it was almost like a Western, even some influences, but there is that added element that adds tension. Do you like working with genres like that?
Yeah. I think it's because I grew up watching genre films. Like the first film I remember watching, this is the first film I remember watching.
Yeah.
I think I was 3 or 4. It was It, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't supposed to watch it, but I was. I've grown up loving, you know, genre. And a lot
not
of...
not clowns, I guess.
No. Actually, I do love clowns, so let's, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I love dolls and I love Chucky. But I love genre. I think what I love about genre is that it's so thoroughly entertaining and it speaks to anywhere in the world, genre will kind of resonate. Yeah. But you can use it as a device to talk about something. That's what I love about it.
So I guess we are running out of time, but after watching the film, I looked up, not too much, because I don't like to look up too much about the movie. But for sure, I saw that there was a short film made before it that was called Number 37. What's the story with that?
The short film, it was really just out of desperation. Uh-huh. We'd been, so it was Gambit Films, which is the production company that produced Number 37, which I co-founded as well. We'd been knocking on doors for some time, yeah. A few years back, trying to making some short films here and there, struggling, you know, as one does. But one of the networks in South Africa kind of had started to hear of us, and they said to us, listen, guys, you've got a day to submit an idea. We'd love for you to be a part of the short film festival. We think you guys will just absolutely kill it here. Do you have an idea? Then, thankfully, my colleague, Darren Joshua, who's now directed his second feature film, actually, which was premiered at Rotterdam earlier this year. He had this idea that he'd been thinking about a while because he grew up in the Cape Flats. You know, why don't we adapt Rear Window and bring it here? This is contained, so it's good for budget, and it's a thriller. That's what we love. So, and he'd been thinking about the story for a bit, and we thrashed it out, and we made the short film. It did well. It won that competition, won our Academy Award in South Africa, then ended up traveling around Europe a bit. So, yeah, that was it. And really, the idea was we were making the short film because right. We wanted to make a feature film.
Oh, so from the beginning, you thought that was the end goal, right?
Oh, for sure.
So the same actors, everyone that was involved in the short film is...
No.
Stop changing them.
Yeah, look, it's one of those unfortunate things, you know, as a project is developing, as it's growing, as the script is changing, the needs were changing as well. And obviously there's always negotiation that needs to be happen between financiers and what you want to do and what's, you know, the money people want and how you bring these visions together. And unfortunately, not everyone stayed through, managed to kind of stay through to the end. But Randall Hendricks was our lead. So Ishad Ali played the lead in the short film as well. And in fact, Pam, the role of Pam, was going to be the same actress up until the very last minute, scheduling conflict. But I'm so glad because Monique just did an incredible job. One or two of the other characters ended up playing different characters.
Okay, so we're absolutely out of time, but I guess, I mean, if there's one last question that I can't resist asking you, it may be a little cliche, but given that this is the first feature film that you've directed, that's correct,
yeah.
Right? And so many of our listeners actually want to be filmmakers or, you know, might be thinking about going on to make feature films. What would you say was the most challenging part of making a film, if there is any?
Look, there were many, many challenges, but I think one of them there was the creative challenge, and then there was the actual, just the logistics of the fact that you needed to raise finance. And I think raising finance for this film was quite difficult, which we hadn't anticipated, having done a short film that did really well. But we managed to do that, and part of it was that we had to back ourselves in the end. So I think raising the finance was one of the most difficult things. But also practically, shooting in a small location like that, independently, without kind of, you know, without major support, and having to really pull in the community, it made it slightly easier that we worked with the community, but it also made it difficult because then everyone is involved in everything, and it's difficult to control that kind of environment. So I'd say, yeah, finance and just the practical part of making a film.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Which is a lot, actually.
Yeah.
But thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure meeting you and chatting with you.
Thank you so much, Matt. Thank you so much.
And I remind our listeners that the film is called Number 37, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.